Okay, so we'll begin with Luisa and the Army of the Divine Fiat. Is it too loud?
No.
Okay.
No, we can't hear.
Now, Father Gobi, Our Lady told Father Gobi that there will be an army of priests, and Jesus tells the same thing to Luisa. There's going to be an army of souls in the divine will, and Jesus has given to Luisa in volume 20, he says this. He says, "There are more things written in you, Luisa, than on paper. When you feel the need to go over again what regards to the truths of the Supreme Fiat, just take a look into your interior, and immediately you will see again what you want." And it's the same thing for us. When we look to Luisa, we're going to see things that are going to be astonishing. She is the newborn, the firstborn. She is the one who the Lord is going to use, as St. Padre Pio said, the world and the church will be focusing on Luisa Picaretta and the divine will in the third millennium. So we begin in volume 1. "Therefore, I, Jesus, recommend to you, Luisa, what I recommend to you is prayer." The same thing for us. We are called by God to pray. The world is in a terrible situation. And Jesus says, I've basically given you this gift of the divine will in the worst of times. The Book of Heaven is given in the worst of times. Now, just last week, there was supposedly the Black Mass at Harvard. You had two men kissing national. Everything seems to be falling apart. You know, the report on heroin, it's cheaper now to buy heroin than to buy marijuana. And so there are many, many people dying, you know, all over the United States and the world because of these drugs. And the final two plagues in sacred scripture is homosexuality and drugs. And this is what's happening. And so Jesus has given us this great gift of the divine will, and we're going to have to learn how to pray in the divine will. So we have the echo books back there. The echo books are all the prayers of Luisa in the 36 volumes. And we have to learn how to pray the way Luisa prayed. Jesus says everything is found now in Luisa. She has the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary. She doesn't have just a virtue or two of the saints that had a virtue or two of Jesus and Mary, but it's the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. So we have to learn how to pray. Now, for the last 2,000 years, we've learned how to pray the prayer of the saints. And how great that is. We pray the prayer of St. Teresa, the St. Ignatius, St. Francis. And these are good and holy and saintly prayers, but they're not the divine will. We have to learn how to pray in the divine will. And this echo book will help as you begin to, you know, everybody loves the Pietà book. And they embrace that and they read that. And those are saintly prayers, good prayers, holy prayers. But what Jesus wants from us is more. He wants more of his prayer. How did Jesus pray when he was 40 days in the desert? How did Our Lady pray when she was going to Bethlehem, you know, from Nazareth? How did she pray? And this is what the divine will is. We begin to pray the prayers of Jesus and Mary. We begin to pray the prayers that Adam prayed before the fall. So Jesus says, what I recommend to you is prayer. Okay, so this is the prayer that we're going to have to learn more than anything else. Even if you should suffer the pains of death, you must never neglect that which you are used to doing, and that is prayer. Even more and more you see yourself in the abyss, the more you will invoke the help of the priest, the one who can free you. Still more, I want you to place yourself blindly in the hands of the confessor without examining what is being said to you. So this is the other thing. We have to understand that one venial sin will keep us from heaven. And our job is to live a perfect life. Okay, and that at this point is impossible. That's why we go to confession each week. Blessed be Father, for I have sinned. You need the priest. This is what Jesus is saying. You need the priest to help you get to heaven. There's a lot of people who are following spiritual direction outside of the priests. And again, that is good and holy and saintly, but it's not what Jesus is looking for. Jesus is looking for the souls to go to the hands of the priest to help them. Our job is to let Jesus Christ, through that ontological change of the priesthood, speak to us through the priest. And that's why he says very clearly, blindly put yourself in the hands of the professor. Blindly put your hands in the hands of the confessor. Invoke the help of the priests. Now, there is not a shortage of priests. There is a shortage of vocations of the men who have been given this vocation to respond to the priesthood. But if we begin to pray the way Jesus wants us to pray, there will be many priests, there will be many religious. God is going to bless the world with the priests and religious. Even St. Anthony says that in the end times, there will be so many religious, the religious communities will be filled. What you see now is the emptying of religious communities, the closing of churches. And the reason for that is it's our fault. Jesus says, if the churches are closed, I myself have closed the churches because I'm tired of the sacrileges. I'm tired of the indifference. And so when we get upset, when we see a building close, a church close, a school close, a convent close, a rectory close, it's because we are not praying. It's our fault. So you don't blame the bishops. Don't blame the priests. Jesus said one thing to the community. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that there will be harvesters. That's for priests. And if we're not praying, and this is what Jesus says, I recommend to you prayer. If we're not praying, God cannot answer a non-prayer. But if we are praying, God will answer that. Jesus says this. Don't examine what's being said to you. Everything should be fiat. Everything should be let it be done to me as you say. Total docility, total surrender, total submission. You will be surrounded by darkness and you will be like the one who has no eyes, who needs a hand to guide her. We have to see the priesthood as this. Right now, Jesus said he's going to redo the priesthood. The rectories are empty. The hospitals are full. The psychiatrist's offices are full. The psychiatric offices are full. It's the priest's job to bring healing. I mean, bringing people back from the dead. I mean, that's the priest's job. Look at Peter and Paul. They went out and brought people back to life, basically. And that's the job of the priesthood. And we have fallen far from that. So Jesus tells Louisa that he's going to renew the priesthood. So our job is to help the priests by going to them and putting ourselves in their hands. And again, that might be scary at this point, but God is going to take care of that. It's the reason everything's falling apart is you don't have priests. Okay, the only person in the world who can help the world is the Vicar of Christ, the Holy Father. That's his job. And when we really are surrendered to in docility and submission and surrender to the priests, will then God begin to work powerfully. So, I mean, that's what Jesus is saying to Louisa. Again, there were some pretty bad priests in Louisa's time. Yet Jesus says, surrender to them. I mean, it doesn't make sense, you know, but this is what Jesus wants. He says, the eye for you will be the voice of the confessor. I've had many people come to me, you know, and say, this is what I believe. And I'd say, well, you know, you got to modify your understanding. And they go, no, I won't. This is what God is saying to me. And there's just this rigidity and disobedience that God can't deal with. Adam was disobedient. Adam was unfaithful. And God basically had to let Adam leave Eden, the Garden of Eden. It's the same thing today. God wants to lead us, guide us, and direct us. And just so that you know, the priests are the weakest of people. I mean, the God always chooses the weakest to confound the wise, the strong. And what we have to do is when we surrender, when we ask a priest for his blessing, most priests immediately will say, "Well, you don't need my blessing." And it's Jesus' blessing that I want, and you give it to me, you know. And when we surrender and tell the priest that, "Father, could I have your blessing?" What happens is the priest understands his priesthood a little more. See, it's the laity that'll help the priests by being priests. What's happened so far since Vatican II is the priesthood has been surrendered to the lay people. The lay people have taken over the priesthood. How many people do I know have keys to the tabernacle? That is not the way God planned it. The pastor has the key, the only one. He is in charge of the Eucharist. So many people say, "Well, I bring communion to the sick." Well, it doesn't work that way. They consecrated and ordained deacons to do that in the early church. It wasn't for lay people. You know, we have to get back to what is the priesthood about. You know, why are the laity taking over the role of the priest? What's going on? And the clericalization of the lay people and the laicization of the clerics. It's wrong. And God wants to bring the priesthood back. And it will be because of what we say to the priest. Not condemning the priest, but saying, "Father, I need your blessing. Father, could you come over and bless this? Father, could..." Because he has the power to do that. That's an angelic power that he received at ordination. It's nothing of him. He's nobody. He's nothing. But it's Jesus. This is the way Jesus has arranged it and worked it. So it says, again, "The eye for you will be the voice of the confessor, which like light will clear the darkness from you. The hand will be obedience, which will be your guide and support to make you reach a safe harbor." Jesus didn't say, "Find the best priest." He says, "Go to the priest, go to the confessor and obey." Again, disobedience is the biggest thing in the church today. And how can anybody think they're going to heaven when there's disobedience? If the priest says something, even if it's wrong, Jesus says, "Obey, and I will change their understanding." Now, for a lot of us, there's been no direction by the priests or the bishops for 40 years. And now what Jesus is telling us to through Louisa is obey the priest. That will, he says very clearly, the hand will be obedience. Okay? To obedience, you hang on to the priest and say yes, even if it's wrong. And God will correct it. The last thing I recommend to you is courage. I want you to enter the battle with intrepidity. The thing that the adversary army fears the most is to see courage, strength, in the way in which one challenges the most dangerous fights, without fearing anything. So the first words of Pope Benedict were courage. You must be courageous. We are going to be in a battle, and it's the last of the battles. Our Lady wins. She is victorious. The triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary occurs. Jesus has given everything over to his mother. When we are consecrated to her Immaculate Heart and the Sacred Heart of Jesus, we win. And again, we are called to fight to the death. And it's not a battle of blood, Jesus tells Louisa, but it's a battle of love. You can't get to heaven if you don't love. If there's any grudges, hostility, anger, anything against anyone, do not go to heaven. Everybody has to be forgiven. We have to have the courageous forgiveness of Christ crucified. Father, forgive them. If we hold any grudges, if we hold any animosity, hold any anger towards anyone, you do not go to heaven. We have to live a life of love. We have to live the life of Jesus, the life of Mary. Total surrender, total docility, total submission. Again, those are words that are hated today. Our job is to live this a life, which is the life of the divine will, in a way that doesn't make sense. Humanly speaking, you go, "Well, you got to go to the best person. You got to make sure that you obey only the truth." And Jesus is saying, no, you hang on to the priest and say yes. You obey. Now, That's a very difficult thing to do when you know the truth. Yet God is saying to us and to Louisa, this is one thing that I'm going to ask you to do. He says, you're going to be in a fight, but you're not going to fear anything. With that fiat, God will take care of you. Now, I know many people have many difficulties with many priests and many bishops. Our job is to say fiat. Again, that doesn't make sense. But this is what God wants. Humanly speaking, it doesn't make any sense at all. Why should I obey what some priests are doing against the chief teachings of the church? But Jesus says, this is going to help him and you. He said, so the demons are, he says, there is nothing that they fear most than a courageous soul who, all clinging to me with a strong spirit, goes into their midst not to be wounded, but with a firm resolution of wounding them and exterminating them. We want Mary to crush the head of the devil. We want that. We want, as Jesus tells Louisa in volume 15 and volume 16, that you, Louisa, crush the head of the devil, as Our Lady did. Now, if that's true, then our job is to crush the head of the devil. Okay? How do we do it? Through obedience. Not fearing anything. Not fearing if it's going against what we feel in our core or not. It's to say, yes, let it be done to me as you say. Total. Jesus surrendered to be crucified unto death. Total surrender. What the human will says is, I will not obey. I will not surrender. And I know so many people who call me and they say, did you know what the Pope just said? Do you know what the Bishop just said? They said this, 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 this. And they're just angry. They're not going to heaven. I don't care what the Bishop says. I don't care what the Pope says. They are filled with anger and they are not going to heaven until they spend a long time in purgatory. Criticism of the bishops and the priests, criticism of the deacons and the popes, is not good. Jesus says, this is who I've placed in charge of you, of your soul, say fiat. Again, that does not make sense, humanly speaking. But in a divine matter, it makes a lot of sense. So it says very clearly, we are going to wound the demons and exterminate them. The demons are frightened, terrified, and rather flee, but they cannot because they are bound by my divine will and they are forced to stay to their greater torment. So why are the demons still here? It's for us to crush them. Now, when you start living in the divine will, there, with no fear, no worry, no complaints, no negativity, total surrender, total love, that's what the divine will is, to enter into that love, the demons are crushed. In your family, with your friends, with your neighbors, with your co-workers, with your parishioners. You are bringing the divine will in the midst of the people that you're with. And the demons are being crushed. If you are filled with courage, if you are filled with confidence in God, trust in God, as you read, as you study the Book of Heaven. This is what's unbelievable. Therefore, do not fear the demons, for they can do nothing to you without my divine will. If God says, okay, to the demons, crush us, then that has to be fiat. But Jesus says, that's not going to happen. You are going to crush them. You're going to prove to the devil that he is completely weak. He is completely unable to conquer. Now, let's look at the black mass. Okay, the devil hides. He's a coward. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. With this black mass, it says something. It says that he's losing because he's coming out into the open. With all the gay references in music, in television, in radio, all that's going on says that the devil is weak. With all the heroin that's happening all over, the drugs, you know, everybody surrendering to letting everybody do drugs as much as they want. This means that the devil is losing. You have to understand the truth. It's not it's not that the Christians are being defeated. It's the devil is being defeated. So he's coming out with more aggression because he's struggling. He knows his kingdom's coming to an end. And how does he know his kingdom's coming to an end? Because of Louisa and the souls linked to Louisa. That's our job. Our job is to just defeat Lucifer. So if we're still praying to our Blessed Mother, crush the head of the evil one, we have to say even more. Louisa, you also crush the head of, and I with you, Louisa, will crush the head of the evil one. In your family, in your neighborhood, with your friends, with all that your people that you're working with. See, with everything being revealed, it says that the devil is weak. And he's trying to pull as many people into hell before he goes back into the pit of hell. That's what the kingdom is going to do. When the kingdom of God is on earth as it is in heaven, the devil has been banished from heaven. He will be banished from earth. So we have to see, what is this army that Jesus is talking about? It's an army that cannot be defeated. It's an army with invincible strength. It's an army that's going to put the evil one into the pit of hell, and heaven is coming to earth. That's what Jesus wants for you. Where are you? What are you doing? It's to be participate in the victorious triumph of Our Lady and Our Lord through Louisa so that the kingdom can be established. This is what God wants for us. That's why he says, be courageous. And then he says, and then, when I see you can no longer resist and are about to fail, if you are faithful to me, again, that's very important, I, Jesus, will come immediately and I will put everyone to flight, and I, Jesus, will give you the grace and strength. Courage then, courage. We have to be courageous. We are not, see, why was the separation of the sheep and the goats? What the sheep and the goats, why is there that separation? Because at night, in the cold, the sheep are the strong ones. In the darkness of the night when it's cold, the sheep are the strong ones. The goats are the frail ones. And the goats have to be put into the caves to protect them. Jesus says, you are my sheep. He wants strong Christians to fight the darkness and the cold of the devil. The goats have to be separated. They have to be taken out, or else they will die with the cold and the darkness. Jesus wants us to be strong. He wants us to be courageous. There is no need to worry. And if you want to advance, you surrender to the priest. That's God. That's how God has set it up. And I'll tell you honestly, it's very scary. Because you have to believe what Jesus is saying. If you think humanly, this is nonsense. I will not surrender to this priest. I will not obey what he says. And that's the trouble today. Everybody is their own priest. Everybody is their own confessor. Everybody is their own spiritual director. And St. Teresa says, if you're your own spiritual director, you'll direct yourself into hell. You have to surrender to what Jesus is saying. And that's the very first thing about this army. The priesthood is important to Jesus Christ. The priest is the one that we have to allow to be priests again. Father, bless me. I want your blessing. Oh, you don't need my blessing. I don't need to bless you. Father, you're the only one that can give me the blessing of Jesus Christ. I mean, saying that to a priest makes him wake up. See, our job is to pray to the Lord of the harvest for harvesters. And if there is a lack of harvesters, it's because we have forgotten what priesthood is about. There's no lack of vocations. They're all out there. In my class, when I started 50 years ago this year, there were 73 seminarians. There's only three that are ordained today. Okay. I meet these guys, and God bless them. They have families, they have wives, they have jobs, but they are sad because they knew that they had a call to the priesthood, but they chose not to. See, it's Why? It's because we're not praying. If we are praying, there will be vocations like you cannot believe. Every parish that's been closed will be reopened again. This is God's plan. But because of everyone saying, I'm going to disobey, I'm going to say what is true, you're not true, I am true, everything's fallen apart. So Jesus is telling us, you have to be courageous, but the first thing you have to do is go to the priest. Now it's the same thing with the divine will. People say to me all the time, there's no priest teaching the divine will. Well, why? You give them the hours of the Passion. You say, Father, please read this. Tell me what this means. Don't tell the priest what it means. Go to the priest and say, Father, tell me what this means. He has the means to communicate to you divine truths. That's why he was ontologically changed at ordination. He's not just a man, he's a priest of God. And if you're not helping him by giving him the truths of the Book of Heaven, there's not going to be any priests that are going to teach this. It's you have to say to that's what happened to me. But back in I heard about it in 76, and I was saying, this is tremendous. And then in 86, a woman said to me, Father, read this. And I go, yeah, thank you. So they said, read it. I said, okay. She said, read it. And I went, well, you're really stern on this one. And as soon as I opened it, I knew this is what I was taught 10 years earlier. I knew what this was all about. It's the same thing. The priests are the one who Jesus is using as the shepherds. And unfortunately today, the sheep are saying to the priests, basically, I'm in charge, you're not. And the priests are surrendering. But if you help the priest understand the truth of the Book of Heaven, how glorious that is. Volume 13, 9-21. You must know. And I underline you must know because this is a truth that we have to memorize. When Jesus says you must know, this is a command from God. You must know this. If you want to live in the divine will, you must know this. That I, Jesus, acted with you as king who begins to love a friend who was very dissimilar from him in status, but his love is so great that he has decided to make him similar to himself, and that's the image and likeness of God. Now, this king cannot do everything at once and render his friend like himself. Rather, he does it little by little. And this is the great blessing that we have. Little by little, Jesus is transforming us. Okay? If the devil can fundamentally transform America in 2 years, 4 years, how much more can God fundamentally change us? First, he prepares a royal palace for him, similar to his own. And then he sends the adornments to decorate the royal palace. What Jesus is going to do is Jesus is going to marry us. This is why God came to earth. God came to earth to find a bride. He wants to marry us. And that's what he says. The Jewish man, when he finds someone that he wants to marry, drinks a cup of wine, puts it in front of the girl. And if she drinks, he says, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. And when I come back, I will take you with me. He's preparing the bridal chamber. And the only one that knows how to build a bridal chamber is the Father. That's a secret. And when the Father recognizes that the bridal chamber is ready, then he says to the Son, you can go back and bring her here. That's what Jesus said. He says, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. And when I return, I will take you with me. We see, we're going back to the garden. We're going back to paradise. We're not supposed to live here. Eternity is where we're supposed to live. And because Adam sinned, we were trapped in time and space. And this is why this body gets old, gray-haired, wrinkled, and dies. It's not part of God's plan. But because Adam sinned, we are trapped in time and space. That's why our Lord says very clearly to us, and Our Lady says that, "You basically, I'll be with you to the end of time." And people think that's a billion years from now. It's very quick. It's going to happen very soon. The end of time is coming. That's why Our Lady says you have to convert now, because if you don't convert now, you will have no time to convert. That's where you stay. She says it over and over again. That's where you stay for eternity. Now, how many of us are perfect? That's what Jesus is expecting. You have to be perfected as my Heavenly Father is perfect. We are coming to the end of time. We have to enter into eternity. This is what Jesus is expecting of us. So he says very clearly, he's preparing a royal palace for him, similar to his own, and then he sends the adornments to decorate the royal palace. He forms a little army for him, and then he gives him half of his kingdom so as to be able to say, what you possess, I possess. King I am, king are you. See, St. Augustine says, God became man so man can become God, small g. He wants us to be like God. That's why Jesus says, you'll do far greater things than me. Oh, how can I do far greater things than God? It's because God's calling us to be in his image and likeness. However, each time the king would give him his gifts, he would look at his faithfulness, and giving the gift would be for him an occasion for a new contentment, a greater glory and honor for himself, and a new feast. If the king had wanted to give to his friend all at once, that which he had given him little by little, he would have embarrassed his friend because he was not trained to be able to dominate. But little by little, through his faithfulness, he has been instructed, so everything is easy for him. That's the same thing for us. We read the volumes little by little. I mean, you don't read all 36 volumes at once and say, was there anything else? No, you read, you study, and you put this into practice. This is what Jesus is expecting. Little by little is our hope. We can't embrace it all at once. And then Jesus says this, so I did with you, Louisa, and with us. Having chosen you in a special way to live in the heights of my divine will, I, God, have instructed you little by little, making it known to you. Okay, that's the same thing for us. Each time you read, God is expanding our capacity to embrace this gift. That's what God wants. And as I kept making it known to you, I enlarged your capacity, preparing it for another greater knowledge. And every time I manifested to you one value, one effect of my divine will, I, God, feel a greater contentment. And I, God, make feast along with all of heaven. Now, as these truths of mine go out, you redouble my contentments and my feasts. Therefore, let me, God, do. This is why you must know. Let me, God, do. And you plunge yourself more into my most holy divine will. And again, this is everything. This is the new evangelization. This is what God wants to give to the world. Yet, we are the ones that are possessing this at this point. Why? Because he can't find anybody else. The religious don't want this. The priests don't want this. The bishops don't want this. The lay people do not want this. This is given to us so that we, linking ourselves with Louisa, will bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. That's our job. So we have the most glorious job ever given to man, and that is to form the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven, one with Louisa Picaretta. So how does this work? Jesus says, be obedient to the priest, obedient to the bishop. And that's, again, very difficult for those who basically know the truth of the dogma and doctrine of our faith. But that's what Jesus is saying. You'll be obedient and I will change them. Volume 13, 11, 19, 21. But do you know who prevented the execution of the sustained my holy humanity from dying? First, it was my inseparable mother. In hearing me ask for help, Mary flew to my side and sustained me, and I leaned my right arm on her. Almost dying, I looked at her and I found in Our Lady the immensity of my divine will intact, without ever a break between my divine will and hers. My divine will is life, and since the will of the Father was immovable and death was coming to me from creatures, another creature who enclosed the life of my divine will gave me life. And here is my Mama Mary, who in the portent of my divine will conceived me and gave birth to me in time, and now giving me life for a second time to let me accomplish the work of redemption. So Jesus is now saying, Go to the priest, go to Mary. Okay? If you don't have a love for the Blessed Mother, you're not going to go anywhere in the divine will. If you're not praying the rosary, if you're not wearing the scapular, don't expect to go anywhere. This is the second command of Jesus. Then I looked to my left, and I found Louisa, the little daughter of my divine will, and I found you, Louisa, as the first, followed by all the other daughters of my divine will. So the next person you go to is Louisa. This is what Jesus is saying. This is a command from God, Our Lady and Louisa. And Our Lady, or Louisa is not Our Lady, and Our Lady's not Louisa. Louisa is the little newborn. Our Lady's the mother and queen of the divine will. And since I wanted Mary, my mama, with me as the first link of divine mercy through which we were to open the doors to all creatures, I wanted to lean my right arm on her, and I wanted you, Louisa, as the first link of justice to prevent justice from unloading itself upon all creatures as they deserve. Therefore, I wanted to lean my left arm on you, Louisa, so that you might sustain it together with me. Think about Moses. The two on either side as they were fighting the battle. When his arms came down, the battle turned against Israel. When his arms were raised up, leaning on the two that were closest to him, the battle was won. It's the same thing today. Christ crucified is in the middle. The one who suffered the most next to Jesus is the Blessed Mother on his right. The one who suffered most next to the Blessed Mother is Louisa, who was on his left. It's the three, Jesus, Mary, and Louisa, that we go to. This is why it's so important that we never forget to pray the rosary. And that's why it's so important that we learn the prayers of Louisa, to echo Louisa's prayers. That's why this book is so important. Your whole prayer life will change. It will change to the point that the beautiful Pietà book will not be part of your life. You're not going to pray the prayers of the saints anymore. You're going to pray the prayers of Jesus and Mary and Louisa. That's going to bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. These two supports, I felt life come back to me. And if I had not suffered anything with a firm step, I went to meet my enemies. In all the pains that I suffered during my passion, many of which were capable of giving me death, these two supports never left me. And when they saw me nearly dying, with my own divine will, which they contained, they sustained me, as though giving me many sips of life. Oh, prodigies of my divine will, who can ever count them and calculate their value? This is why I, God, love so much the one, Louisa, who lives in my divine will. And I, God, recognize my portrait in Louisa, my noble features in Louisa, in my own breath in Louisa, my voice in Louisa. And if I did not love Louisa, I would defraud myself. I would be like a father without offspring, without the noble cortege of his court, without the crown of his children. And if I did not have the offspring, the court, the crown, how could I make myself king, call myself a king? My kingdom is formed by those who live in my divine will, and from this kingdom I choose the mother, Mary, the queen, and the children, Louisa and her, those linked to Louisa, and the ministers, the priests, and the army, and the people, and I, God, I am everything for them, and they are all for me. We see very clearly that this army is going to conquer the devil. You are part of a glorious army. You're part of the children of God, the kingdom of God. We have to understand who we are, what Jesus is telling us about ourselves through Louisa. If we don't have Louisa, we don't have anything. It's her gift. She is the true newborn of the divine will. And now when we link ourselves to Jesus and Mary through Louisa, glorious things are happening. So we'll end there. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.